everybody, and welcome back to We Are Victory, the weekly sermon podcast from Victory Christian Church in Franklin, Indiana. My name's Evan, and I'm one of the ministers at Victory. I'll be your host. We're in week two of our series, Mastermind, where Josh talks about anxiety and depression and how the way we think can either create new neural pathways or minefields of destructive thought. You're not going to want to miss this. In this podcast, you'll hear the entirety of Josh's message, but you won't hear our worship service, you won't see any of our special onstage experiences, and of course, you won't have the opportunity to interact with your Victory family. That's why we encourage you to watch us live. Each Sunday at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, we worship, share life together online, and enjoy the experience. You can view our live services on our website, victorycc.life/watch. You can also watch on YouTube, Facebook, or our free Victory app. And while you're on the app, check out our sermon notes for this message. Just search for Victory Christian Church on the iPhone or Android app stores and grab the app with the gray and orange V logo. That's about it for now. So let's go to Josh for the next part of our series, Mastermind.
We're in the second week of our series we're calling Mastermind, and we're doing this whole thing because we want to help you win the war within. But before we jump into that, I just want to welcome everyone for the very first time, if this is your first time here, and also those out there on Victory Everywhere, Tim in Tampa, Mike in Pittsburgh, Amy and Phil in Michigan, and Hannah, who normally is on Victory Everywhere, but she's here in the building with us today. And here's the deal. If this is your first time here, what you want to do is go back and listen to what we said about last week on this topic. Because we're tackling a topic that has been taboo for far too long in the church. It's this thing called mental health, and it's such an important topic, and one we just really don't talk enough about. And I think part of the reason we don't talk a lot about it is because, like, we don't understand it. Like, if you have a broken leg, everyone knows, like, some of the steps that you got to do to make that better. You go to a doctor, get a brace, take care of it, rehabilitation, you know. But mental health, to some degree, can be hidden. There's maybe some shame and guilt associated with it, the unknown of it, and that makes our mental health more like a minefield. We're walking along, and all of a sudden, it's a conversation, it's an interaction, it's an environment, and you stepped on a landmine, right? Like, it just triggers something inside of you that negatively affects your mental health. And for me, when this happens, here's what I know. I know I'm acting disproportionately to the things that are going on around me. Not everyone would respond the way that I feel like I need to respond to that particular event. It wouldn't necessarily elicit the same kind of emotion in everyone else that I'm feeling, but I just can't help it because I stepped on a landmine. I feel it in my mind, my body, my very soul. And I just wanted to let you know that we're at war. There's a war waging within, and I don't know what church background you come from, but at Victory, we think that we can help win the war when we end the stigma to mental health. And it's a big deal in the church, because when it comes to struggling with mental health, the church's response, or at least the Big C church around the world for as long as I can remember, is to do this: blame the person struggling. Saying things, and maybe you've heard things like this, like, you need more faith, you need more willpower, there's something wrong with you. And at Victory, our approach is different, thankfully, for that. And last week, we laid the foundation for our discussion, and today, we're going to do a deeper dive. And next week, we're going to tackle this from a different angle. And the last week of the series, I invited a mental health professional to join us to answer some of our questions. So you're going to want to make plans right now to be here with us or join us online for the next few weeks. But if you're new today, you'll want to go back and listen to what we talked about last week. And you can do that on our app or on the website. And here's the deal. You can even share these messages with a friend. And when you do, don't say, hey, you really need to hear this. Like, you're messed up. Like, don't start with that. Say, it helped me. It helped me. So, and if it helped you, you have a responsibility to share with someone, because God's work in us is never only for us. So don't wait to offer help. And even right now, you can take out your phone and share on Facebook or send a DM. Or if you're in the app, there's this little share button. You just send it to somebody else. And here's the reality. At the beginning of the series, we did a survey on mental health. And our question, and one of the questions we received was simply this: how do I encourage a non-Christian friend or family member with mental health issues to seek God's guidance, seek God for guidance, all right? That's a great question. I think a lot of people have that question. And if you aren't a Jesus follower, or you want to share your faith or share this with somebody else who doesn't yet follow Jesus, I would simply ask this question: is what you're doing working? Is what you're doing working? And then listen. That's very difficult, right? Just is what you're doing working? And listen. And just so you know, as Jesus followers, God does not hold us accountable for the other person's response. Like that's God's job. That's between them and God. But he does command us to share what he's doing in us and for us and through us. So if you have a friend or family member who's maybe dealing with this, just ask, is what you're doing working? Or are you depressed like everyone else? Stressed like everyone else? Anxious like everyone else? Self-medicated like everyone else? Is what you're doing working? Listen and say, I'd love for you to sit back and hear how following Jesus has made my life better. And so you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to believe anything initially. Just come and see. Just come and listen, because I think there's a better way. I found a better way. Not necessarily easier, but following Jesus has made my life better. I think he can help you win the war within. Now, when it comes to this topic, we've been saying this. We're transforming our lives by retraining our minds. And Jesus follower or not, you owe it to yourself to see if that works. So the challenge last week, we said we're going to do this, is identify one stronghold in your mind. And we're going to do that because if you never identify it, you'll never beat it. So what is it? What's that one stronghold? What's that constant thought? What's your default struggle? What's that automatic negative thought process that's attacking you? There might be 50, but today we're going to deal with one, and we will identify the one and that one negative thought pattern, because we believe that you can't have a positive life with a negative mind. You can't have a positive life with a negative mind. So one by one, we're going to take down those mental strongholds until we win the war within. Now, what we said last week is simply this, that there are major factors of our mental health. They're both biological and environmental. Biological maybe means something passed down, maybe something chemical. There's something in our makeup, it's biological, and it's also environmental. Maybe we're placing ourselves in an environment, surrounding ourselves in a pattern that's toxic to our mental health. It's like taking a stroll through a mental minefield. Watch out, you know, something's gonna happen. And there's a lot that goes on into the mental health, but the factors that we all deal with, they're the same, the biological and environmental. And we're gonna let the doctors deal with the biological, like that's what they're taking care of, and we're going to focus on the environmental. And as Jesus followers, it is our responsibility to end the stigma of seeking help when it comes to our mental health. So if you're doing well, you might think, hey, I don't need this series or this sermon. No, you have a critical role. Because when it comes to the church's role with mental health, there's a lot of shame attached and guilt attached to mental health because of some bad teaching in churches. And so many people that God desperately loves are left struggling in shame and silence. And we need to reach out to them and let them know that there's no shame in going to a counselor. There's no shame in taking medicine if you need the medicine. And in fact, if you needed medicine for your heart, you wouldn't call it a lack of faith issue. And so as Jesus followers, your advice should be this: pray about it. If I got into the problem, definitely seek his face and his peace, pray for healing, and go to a doctor. And so in order to help you with this, we have some resources on our website and in our app under resources, creative, I know, but that's where they're at. So, and we suggested places that you could go, biblically based doctors that you could visit, books that you could read to help you win the war with it. Now, if you're to go talk to a counselor, they would tell you that we all have this in common. We have a universal need, a universal fear, and a universal doubt. Men and women, we all have this in common, but we're differently. We're created differently because women's universal need is security, and men's universal need is significance. And ladies want to feel loved and safe, and men want to be respected and admired. And when that need isn't being met, it leads to a universal fear. And the universal fear in women is rejection. That's why so many women reject each other or reject you when you ask them out on a date. Like, their insecurity, just speaking from experience, right? Insecurity and rejection, they want to reject you before you get a chance to reject them. And then this is why we tend to be passive, right? Because if you don't do anything, you can't fail. Great logic, right? So we both have this in our dialogue, even though if it's false, right? And unconsciously, it brings about this universal doubt. And it's in women, it's, am I worth it? Am I worth it? Am I worth it? Men, it's, am I competent? And the answers to those questions produce desperate feelings. Guilt in women, shame in men. Am I worth it? Am I competent? Am I worth it? Am I competent? Like it or not, know it or not, we all have a universal need, a universal fear, and a universal doubt. Now, what we said last week is most people make choices based on how they feel Isn't that true? Like, you make choices, good or bad, on how we feel. Are you feeling like this? Or how does it make you feel? And we make decisions based on how we feel. And those feelings are in response to the universal need for universal fear and universal doubt. Most people make their choices based on how they feel based on those things, but we never slow down and ask, why do I feel the way I feel? And if you did, you would circle back around to that universal need, universal fear, and universal doubt. And this is so critical to understand because our lives tend to be moving in the direction of our strongest feelings. So whenever we feel anxious or depressed, we need to get to the root of it so that we can identify the direction of our life. So what is it that's not making you feel secure? What need do you think isn't going to get met? What self-doubt is making you feel anxious? Because you owe it to yourself to get to the root of it. Now, Jesus follower or not, there will be some times that we all will get anxious. There will be some times where fear is actually a good thing. You were created with the ability to show concern. So those feelings, they're not all bad. I mean, sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes those feelings are disproportionate. You feel more anxious than the situation actually merits. And just so you know, there's a difference between normal anxiety and clinical anxiety, and normal depression and clinical depression, to which you might say, Josh, how do I know if I need help? Well, did some research to help you make your own decision. And I think I want to start off this conversation with a couple clarifiers. And the first one is this: worry is different than anxiety. Worry is different than anxiety. Worry is dwelling on a potential problem, right? But anxiety is feeling the problem in your body. And I can worry, and you know, the worry keeps coming, and I keep coming back to the problem. But when I have anxiety, it's affecting more than my mind. It tends to affect my body. In fact, this is so important that researchers have shown that those without generalized anxiety disorder worry about 55 minutes a day. Now, that seems like a lot, right? You're only awake on average 16 hours a day, so about 13 or 3.5 minutes every hour you're worrying. That unfortunately is normal, 55 minutes a day. But those with generalized anxiety, let's go back, disorder, obsess over a potential threat about 5 hours a day. That's 19 minutes every waking hour, or maybe you just do all of yours after work, right before you try to go to sleep. Like, I don't know how it hits you, but we obsess over something that may never really truly be a threat. So worry is different than anxiety. Worry is about thinking something that might happen, but anxiety is feeling the problem in your bones, in your body, in your soul. And here are some symptoms, physical symptoms of anxiety: increased alertness for no reason, insomnia, irritability, restlessness, lack of concentration, racing thoughts, obsessing over certain thoughts, tense muscles, fatigue, sweating, dizziness, nausea, and shortness of breath. And so those are some of the symptoms that affect our body when we're actually feeling this deep anxiety. Now, again, anxiety, it's a really big deal. In fact, anxiety disorders in the United States are the number one mental health problem among women, and are the second only to alcohol and drugs among men. Like, this is a big deal in the world right now. Now, and it affects us so much physically that, get this, 80% of the people that go to the ER thinking they're having a heart attack are actually having an anxiety episode. It affects us in our body. It affects us in our core. When we obsess over something that might happen, could happen, but hasn't happened, what if I don't close the sale? What if I don't pass the class? What if I can't afford? What if we obsess over it so much, we don't even attempt to take captive every thought? Those feelings cause our body to respond as if danger is imminent, even when there is no real tangible danger. So you might be asking, well, Josh, how do I know if I need to see a professional help? You know, how do I know if I need to do that? Well, in your app, in the resource section, you can pull out your phone and take a little test. It's a self-assessment under the back anxiety inventory. It's an inventory created by professional counselors. And if you score a 36 to 63, that means you have concerning levels of anxiety. And here's the translation, just in case you don't know, you should probably see a counselor. Right? You should probably go check that out and make an appointment. Normal anxiety is helpful. God gave us the capacity for fear to protect us, but anxiety disorder is too much of a good thing. So if you're struggling with symptoms of clinical anxiety, it isn't necessarily a lack of faith issue. Sometimes it's biological. So if you're a Jesus follower, invite God into the problem, seek his peace, pray for healing, and go see a doctor. Because sometimes it's biological, and sometimes it's environmental. And when it comes to environmental factors of anxiety, it would not be helpful for me to tell you what so many people tell you: stop feeling that way. Stop feeling that way. But here's what we discovered last week, is I should be telling you this: don't think that way. Don't think that way. As Jesus followers, we're called to transform our lives by retraining our minds. And we need to identify the strongholds that are causing anxiety and pull the pin and lob this mental truth grenade. And here it is. You ready? Feelings are not facts. Right? Feelings are not facts. So whatever's making you anxious, you need to slow down and just identify before y'all get revved up. Is this a feeling or a fact? Now, don't get me wrong. Feelings are important. I'm not saying don't pay attention to your feelings. But if we're going to win the war within, we have to get out our mind detector and ask, is this a feeling or is this a fact? And we have to make the feelings or our feelings prisoners to the facts. See, feelings are important, but we shouldn't base our life on our feelings. We shouldn't let our feelings direct the whole course of our life. If we're going to win the war within, we have to retrain our minds to realize that feelings are not facts. Now, when it comes to depression, there's a difference between normal depression and clinical depression. And after reading about 15 different definitions on depression, here's the one I chose, how I chose to define it, because I didn't like any of those. But an illness that affects the whole person. It's physical, psychological, and a spiritual battle. I mean, I think that sums it up. It's like about the whole person. Depression, it has this debilitating effect on every area of your life, to which the sunshine happy people go, you mean sadness and grief? Is that depression? No, it's not the same thing. It really isn't. I mean, they can come from the same source. It can come from a loss. It can come from an unexpected setback or a difficulty, but they're not the same as depression. Sadness and grief normally come in waves. Now, we all remember the positive memories as we grieve the loss of the loved one or the experience, but depression is more serious than the occasional bouts of sadness that most people deal with. See, someone who's clinically depressed will experience at least three or more of the following symptoms for at least 2 weeks. So here are some of the symptoms: significant weight loss or weight gain with no change in eating habits, changes in sleep habits, either insomnia or hypersomnia, meaning I'm sleeping more than normal, overly restless, fidgety, sluggish, lack of energy or fatigue, feelings of worthlessness, excessive or irrational guilt, difficulty concentrating, recurring thoughts of death or suicide. So you might be asking, okay, well, how do I know if I need to see a professional? Because I'm feeling some of those things. Well, in our app, under the resources section, we have another self-assessment, and it's called the Beck Depression Inventory. And you can get out your phone. It's a self-assessment created by professional counselors where you can begin to measure, do I need help? And score of 31 to 63 says you'll have severe or extreme levels of depression. Translation, you should probably call somebody, right? Now, what causes depression can be different. That's a deficiency, a chemical imbalance. Sometimes it's biological. Sometimes it's environmental. And as a Jesus follower, what should we do? Well, we should address any environmental factors that can be removed. We should go to God, invite God into the situation, pray without ceasing, and center our mind on the truth of God's word, because feelings are not facts. And so we need to realize that and go see a doctor, because God gifted other people to help us. God created medicine to help us. And what's so crazy is a Jesus follower, and what's so interesting about this is that it was the first followers of Jesus who actually created the hospitals. But now it's the Christians who try to avoid the hospitals. It's just kind of crazy how that thing is. So we need to turn it over to Jesus and get help. And I'm thankful for so many of the medical professionals out there. Now, here's the reality. So many of us don't need any help when it comes to that. We need to address these environmental factors. That's where the majority of our problem lies. We need to pull the pin and lob some of these truth grenades, like feelings are not facts. And we need to do what we learned last week and take captive every thought and make those thoughts obedient to Christ. And so while you won't hear me say, don't feel that way or stop feeling that way, if you're a Jesus follower, last week we learned from Scripture where God says, don't think that way. And here's our problem. We're losing the war within when we choose to believe everything we think. That's our problem. We choose to believe everything we think. So we're transforming our lives by retraining our minds. That's where we're going. So if you're on the edges of Christianity, just so you know, God and science agree, because God is the God of science. So, and here's what God and science says. Every thought creates a neurochemical pathway in our body. So science and God agree that there's a change in our brain connected to our thoughts. And scientists have done all kinds of research on this, that you experience your thoughts, and you, as you do that, you're programming your brain. And it happens from the very moment that we're born. So if you have a little baby and you smile at the baby and the mom smiles at the baby and the baby smiles back, goo goo gaga, like that whole thing, right? It creates a brain pathway in the baby's brain saying smiling is good. Then the baby touches the stove and they feel the hotness of the stove. They go, stove, bad, right? Stove causes pain, right? Or that creates these neural pathways in our brain. If the baby wants a sucker and says, I want a sucker. Mom says, no sucker. But the baby starts crying and then the mom gives the baby a sucker. The baby's brain saying, crying gets me a what? A sucker. And that's why some parents right now are suckers, right? So here's what happens. We create a thought in our brain and it's creating these new neural pathways. And the more we think a particular thought, the easier it is to get to that thought. So the more we obsess over a negative thought, the more quickly it becomes our default thought. And so here's what we have in common. We're losing the war within when we choose to believe everything we think. Because I don't want to admit this to you, but sometimes I'm wrong. And sometimes you are too. So feelings are not facts. And God and science agree. So science says that there's a neurochemical change in our brain connected to our thoughts. And so we're transforming our lives by retraining our minds. That's our role in this whole thing. Now, you might be in a couch in Toledo or a condo in Tampa. You might be thinking the same thing if you're sitting here today. Josh, that's great and all. But the people in the Bible, they don't know how I feel. Like they should know how I feel because I'm depressed, right? All right? So I want to take you to the most depressing psalm in the Bible. And this might surprise you that 1/3 of the 150 psalms are laments, meaning they're expressing deep grief and sorrow. So 50 of the psalms are depressing, the songs they sang in church. And I want to take you to the most depressing one. And the reason is I want to show you that the people who know God and the people that love God and the people that God used, they know exactly what you and I are going through. Now, before I read it to you, I want to tell you about the guy who I believe wrote it. Some people believe that David wrote the Psalms and that he wrote all of the Psalms, and that could be true. But many scholars believe that the guy who wrote this particular psalm was named He-Man the Ezraite, right? And not He-Man, the Masters of the Universe. Anybody remember watching that show way back in the 1900s? Right? So not He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, He-Man the Ezraite, who lived in 1014 BC, that was the time of David and Solomon, and he was known for his great wisdom. He was a man, He-Man, right, who went to church. He was a man who served in the music ministry of the Old Testament. He saw God move, and he saw God defeat major enemies. But the reason you'll probably love this psalm is the author pours out his heart in song to God. So back in the day, they did not just play Justin Bieber's new song, Lonely, on repeat. That's not what they did, you know, driving around playing Lonely. No, they would listen to He-Man belt out this depressing song. So you ready to be depressed, everybody? All right, here we go. Lord God of my salvation, by day I cry out, even at night before you, let my prayer reach you. Turn your ear to my outcry because my whole being is filled with distress. Right? He's feeling it in his bones. My life is at the very brink of hell. I'm considered as one of those plummeting into the pit. I'm like those who are beyond help, drifting among the dead, lying in the grave, like dead bodies, those who you don't remember anymore, those you're cut off from your power. You place me down in the deepest pit, in places dark and deep. Your anger smothers me. You subdue me with it. Wave after wave, you've made my friends distant. You've made me disgusting to them. I can't escape. I'm trapped. My eyes are tired of looking at my suffering. I've been calling out to you every day, Lord. I've had my hands outstretched to you. And do you work wonders for the dead? Do your ghosts rise up and give you thanks? Is that how it works, God? Is your faithful love proclaimed in the grave? Your faithfulness in the underworld? Are your wonders known in the land of the darkness? Your righteousness in the land of the oblivion? But I cry out to you, Lord. My prayer meets you first thing in the morning. Why do you reject my very being, Lord? Why do you hide your face from me? Since I was young, I've been afflicted. I've been dying. I've endured your terrors. I'm lifeless. Your fiery anger has overwhelmed me. Your terrors have destroyed me. And they surround me all day long like water. They engulf me completely. You've made my loved ones and companions distant. My only friend is darkness. The end. Like, no sunshine, no puppies. My only friend is darkness. Mic drop. That's it. And I want to read that to you because when you feel abandoned by God and when you hit rock bottom, when you question, God, do you know? Do you see? God, do you care? You need to know that the people that God used and the people that love God could raise their hand and say, me too. Because of what He-Man writes, it tells us that he feels anxiety and depression to his very core. And no one is asking him where his faith is. No, not one person. Now we're going to go through this exercise that I shared with you last week because I believe it's critical not for us to just know, but to put into practice what we know. And remember this tree I put up here last week, and I know some of the writing is small, so you can, it's in our app, it's in our notes, but here's the reality. When we have these anxiety and worry, when that's the fruit of our life, you and I need to identify it. We need to trace it back to its roots, and it's connected. This is to who I am, or who I believe I am. He-Man said it this way. He says, I'm like those who are beyond help. That's who I am. I'm not in control, but I think I have to be. That's who I am. God, you left me. God, you don't have any power to get my life where it needs to be. That's who I am. That's who I believe I am. And not only that, it tells me not who I am, but what God's done. That's what you trace the root. My life is spiraling out of control. I believe that God, you've stopped loving me, that you've abandoned me. And here's how he says it. He says this. He says, why do you reject my very being, Lord? Why do you hide your face from me? That's what God's done. You've left me. You've rejected me. And no wonder the roots of depression grew in his life. He was choosing to believe everything he thought. See, the fruit of our mental health is actually connected to the root of our faith. It's who I am and what I believe that God's done. And here's who God is. You left me hanging, God. You're absent. God, you cut off the power from me. Here's how he says it. I'm like those who are beyond help, those who are cut off from your power. God, you don't care about me. My only friend is darkness. See, our mindset can become a minefield. But I want you to notice something about the psalm. Sprinkled all throughout this psalm of his depression, it didn't ruin his faith. His mental state did not make him stray from God. His difficulty didn't shake his confidence in who God was. I mean, it felt like his life was over. It felt like his only friend was darkness, but his feelings were not facts. In fact, He-Man, whose name actually means faithful, I want you to look at how he throws these little truth grenades all throughout this. He says, Lord God of my salvation. That's no matter how I feel, I'm going to remember who you are. Well, I've been calling out to you every day, Lord. I've had my hands outstretched to you. Every day I'm going to lay myself out there for you. And I'm going to remember that you are a God. And I said it in my verse there, your faithful love. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remind myself of that every day as I cry out to you, Lord. My prayer meets you the very first thing in the morning. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to give my life over to you every day. And He-Man, he prayed honestly. He prayed openly. He shared his feelings. He wrote it down. He said it in song. He persistently prayed. But the most important thing he did is he prayed scripturally. He centered his life back on the facts. And when it comes to your mental health, maybe the greatest thing you could do is remind yourself simply this. We're losing the war within when we choose to believe everything we think. We have to take some of those enemy strongholds out, right? And we got to pull the pin and start lobbing some of these truth grenades. Because here's the reality. If you don't control what you think, you'll never control what you do. If you don't control what you think, you'll never control what you do. It doesn't matter how different you and I might be. We have this in common. Someone or something is going to influence our mind. It's going to control our thoughts. It might be the news that makes us anxious, or we might be consumed with comparison on social media, or we might have, you know, we might believe that every theory we hear at school is true, or we can be defined by our work, or choose to be defined by, or we can choose to be defined by what God says about us, who he says we are, and say, I am who you say I am. I mean, here's something I will never understand. Why do we so often choose to be affected by the words of people that we would never take advice from? Right? We let other people's opinion affect our thinking so much, and we would look at their lives and we'd realize they don't care about me. They don't have good intentions towards me, but we choose to listen to them and be affected by what they think about me. I mean, I don't know, what is that? Jesus follower or not? Someone is going to control your mind. Someone's going to influence your thought process. But if you are going to win the war within, you have to realize, it doesn't feel like it, but you get to choose. You get to choose who you listen to. I'm telling you, Christianity is different than Eastern religion because Eastern religion tells you to clear your mind, clear your mind, clear your mind. But Jesus says to fill your mind Fill your mind with who I am and what I've done and who I say you are. See, we're losing the battle within when we choose to believe everything we think. It's time to fill our minds with the truth of God's word. And I have another truth grenade I want to lob your way, right? Because when we feel trapped by our toxic thinking, we believe two lies normally, that it's always going to be this way and I'm the only one. It's always going to be this way and I'm the only one. Well, He-Man has already proven that we're not the only one, right? And here's, and when we think it's always going to be this way, here's the truth grenade, simply this: God's not done with you. When we are rightfully hurt or feel betrayed, that soul-crushing depression, it feels like God's done. We can't see a way out, but God's not done with you. If you're not dead, God's not done. And so, I mean, here's the deal. You're still in the middle of your story, to which you might say, Josh, I'm 90. Okay, well, you're in the last chapters, but you're in the middle of your story, right? God's not done with you. And after the most depressing psalm ever written, I want you to check out the very next psalm. He says this: I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm. See, Psalm 88 is not the end. And so no matter what it feels like, those feelings are not facts. God's not done with you. We have to go back to our roots, because the root of our faith, our lives, points to the root of our faith. And so when we go back to our roots of who God is, we can see what the Psalm 89 says: the heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too. And the assembly of the holy ones, for who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? God, you're better than everything else out there. In fact, in the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? There's no one like you. That's who my God is, right? And not only that, who God is, but what God has God done. Go back to our roots. That's where we can be strong again. He goes on to say, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm for how long? Forever. That's who I'm going to believe that you are, God. That's who you are and what you've done in my life. And we're getting back to our roots. Who God is and what God's done, and his love will be there for me. If you have any questions about that, you just go look at the cross. And that's where you'll find who you are. All right? And he goes on to say this in the very first verse: Lord, you're the God who saves me. You're the God who saves me. That's the root of my faith. And when you go to the root of those faith, it's going to produce these things in our life: the love and joy and peace. When you go back to the roots and rethink the way that we think about God, life, and everything else, meaning we repent of all of that and say, God, whatever you say about me is true about me, then I can be rooted and grounded and established in the love of God and God's love for me. And I got one last truth grenade for our time together. Our anxiety and depression, it's rooted in fear. But when you read scripture, you'll find that there's something that's stronger than fear. John says it this way. He says, there's no fear in what? Love. In other words, love and fear can't coexist. Fear can't hang out in the same room as love. That the kind of love that God has for me, there's no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. See, we all will have this universal need, this universal fear, this universal doubt. But what if we rooted ourselves and rooted our lives in the perfect love of God? Where we're transforming our lives by retraining our minds. So the challenge last week was to do this: identify one stronghold in your mind. And today, here's the follow-up homework. Name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. There's a truth that demolishes that stronghold. And here's the deal. You get to choose. Someone will control what you think. Someone will influence what you think, right? But you get to choose who you listen to. And I want you to realize that God's not done with you. That your feelings are not the facts. And so let's take our fears to the root of our faith, a faith that's rooted and grounded and established in love, the unchanging love of God. Identify one stronghold in your mind and name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. In fact, as we close today, I want to read to you a prayer written by Paul to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3. And I just want to read it. I just want it to wash over you today as you can feel the perfect, unchanging love of God. And Paul writes this to the first early church there. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I want you to feel it in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know, to really know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory and the church and the Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and forever and ever, amen. Father, may that truth wash over our lives. No matter where we're at, Father, may your seeking us and your love for us impact our hearts. May we begin to transform our thoughts because we're retraining our minds. And Father, I just pray that as we submit our lives to you and give our lives over to you, that you would help us to see as you see. It's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's podcast. If this message has been encouraging or helpful to you in any way, we would love to know. Drop us a review on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. It really helps us out. But of course, the best way to spread the word about what Victory is doing is through a personal recommendation. If you know a friend who would like us, give us a share. This podcast airs a few days after the live recording, so if you'd like to experience our full worship service live, you can do that on our website or on our app. Every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, as well as 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We also offer a ton of awesome stuff for kids and students, so be sure to check that out on our website for all those details. If you'd like to partner with us in our mission of connecting people back to God, you can support us financially at victorycc.life/give, or by clicking the Give button in our free Victory app. Well, that'll about do it for this week's episode. Until next time, remember, we don't go to church. We are the church everywhere we go.